America and to all of our listeners all over the world. Hope it's a happy Juneteenth for you. We are having yet another edition of Let's Weekend, specifically a kind of Juneteenth edition, I suppose. I am your host with the most, as always, Brandon Perkins, and joining me is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yo.
Yeah. So, 6-1, how many of you actually knew Juneteenth was a thing?
I didn't. I'm in Canada.
Well, I expected you not to, but...
And I was born and raised in Utah.
Yeah, that's true. And, so for those who don't know, Juneteenth is actually the June 19th, obviously. It celebrates the formal adoption and enforcement of the Emancipation Proclamation. The reason, even though the actual Emancipation Proclamation was signed like earlier, I think it actually wasn't even in June. It was in like April or May. It's in June, specifically June 19th, because that is when news of it reached Galveston, Texas.
Yeah.
Which meant that it had officially, news had officially gone all over the country. Because remember, this is before the days of mass telecommunications and even freaking, like, you know, telegraphs and stuff were still in their infancy. So, you know, correspondence was Pony Express and all that shit. And for the first time in, like, a long time, people are actually realized, like, holy shit, this is actually a thing.
Yep.
But we'll be getting into all of that later on. Also, of course, we got some other stuff. We got some unfortunate news about COVID-19, specifically the new epicenter, or what could become the next epicenter. The officers that were involved in the death of Rashard Brooks have turned themselves in. One of the officers from... the Breonna Taylor shooting is also being disciplined. We'll tell you why and how. Also, it's taken a lot of people to realize suddenly that, we still use, like, a lot of minstrel show shit in our advertising and branding. Yeah. Believe it or not, it used to be a lot worse. Like, a lot worse.
No, I believe it.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. And I know of it, and have seen many of it. Because one of my uncles collects that shit.
Everyone's got to have a hobby.
Trump is having another tussle with Twitter. Hooray for alliteration. Supreme Court gave the Trump administration a 1-2 punch this week. Of course, we got some other less serious stories and entertainment stuff as well that'll be coming with it. Including the recognition and basically confirmation of a certain Star Trek character that kind of everybody kind of already had figured out, but now has been officially confirmed. We'll talk about all that and more on this week's Juneteenth edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off, as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Let's see. Well, I've been reading Salvation Lost by Peter F. Hamilton. It's another
Peter F. Hamilton book, which means it's basically a brick and has loads and loads of characters.
Well, it has loads and loads of characters, but it's I wouldn't say it's a brick. It's actually kind of short for one of his books.
Oh, so it's only just under 800 pages.
Yeah. So it's just under 800 pages. I've been reading that. It's a little weird to follow because... it goes from what I'm assuming would be present day for that world to 10,000 years in the past, which would be like, you know, 200 years in our future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of weird how it jumps around like that, and it makes it a little bit difficult to follow, especially when there really doesn't seem to be much transition between one time period and the other. It's just... At least in the audio, there's really no delineation, so you kind of have to figure out what's going on and when it's going on. so that's a bit jarring. It's a Peter F. Hamilton book. There's a lot of sex and aliens of various proportions and anatomies and Yeah.
Also involved in the sex?
Usually, yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a Hamilton book.
Yeah, so I kind of like where it's going, so I'm going to keep on listening to it and see where it ends up going, because I know the third book of that series that's going to wrap it up is going to be coming out later this year, so yeah, should be able to finish that up and then be ready for the next one to come out. I'm also kind of looking forward to, apparently, the next Stormlight book is coming out probably at the end of this year, so that'll be another one for me to look forward to.
Yep.
Apart from that, well, I've been planning on what I've been doing after I, leave Smashpad and get my stuff together. I have discovered a site called itpro.tv, where you can get, online training courses for IT stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went there and I kind of did the, I signed up for a free account and went through their track of, like, just basically what they offer, and I'm like, okay, where has this been all my life?
Uh-huh.
Site has, it's basically, they group their courses by certification or by milieu or vendor or whatever you want to look for, they generally have. Plus, they have, they'll let you do practice exams, so, you know, before you go take the test for a particular certification, you can get a good idea of what you might be in for. So there's that. They also have, like, online practice labs where you can actually get hands-on experience with all of the stuff that you're going to be learning. Like, you know, if I want to, one of the things I'm probably looking to go into is Cisco networking, so I can jump in there and access some actual Cisco switches and figure out how to connect them, and if I break them, well, I can just reset them and do them again. So it's like being able to, like, actually play on real hardware and get that experience, incredibly valuable. So yeah that's I suspect that the next couple of weeks, once get paid again, I'm gonna get myself a subscription to that premium plan and start learning all the stuff I can, because don't know where it's gonna take me, but adding to my skill set is definitely gonna help. So
yeah, all right.
That's gonna be good.
All right, well, Pat, what about you?
Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, you're not even done. Goddamn.
No. Beyond that, Teresa might appreciate this. Plex subscription was coming up for renewal. You get that every year. It's like, and I kind of decided that I don't want to pay for Plex anymore, so I played for Plex one more time. Lifetime, baby.
Nice.
Yeah. So now I don't have to ever pay for that again, but the nice thing is I don't really mind, because it's so hideously useful, and they keep updating it, and it gets better, and it's great. So I also discovered that they have a music player dedicated called PlexAmp.
Really?
Yes. So I downloaded it. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on Windows. And it's kind of like based around the idea of creating radio stations. So one of the things I did was just loaded up an artist and said, start artist radio, and it started playing that. And then it was, you know, it was like playing stuff like Alter Bridge or Creed for some reason I still have in my library. I got to purge that, but yeah. then I played like Imagine Dragons and Everclear, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have any of those. And then
that would probably be me.
Yeah, and it pulled them from yours just seamlessly like that. I was like, that is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so definitely a thumbs up to Plex on that. I really like it. So now I'm probably going to look for other people who have Plex servers that they want to share to add to that pool of stuff that it could pull from. So, yeah, that might be fun to do. So, been that. And then I'm also been trying not to turn into a puddle of liquid on the floor. Because holy fuck, has it ever been hot here.
How much?
Yeah, we've hit the high 90s, and yeah, it's not been good.
That's actually hot. Yeah, that's kind of unusual for Canada.
Swamp ass territory.
Yes, it is. So
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that heat waves are something that have happened in Canada on occasion, but that's definitely unusual.
Yeah. And it's like my window has sun for most of the day, so the poor air conditioner is like struggling for it to keep me cold. But you know, once the sun starts to go down, then it catches up, and yeah, it gets better. So, and now I'm actually done. So there.
Yeah.
All right, Pat. What about you?
I normally save all of the gaming talk for the Day Zero update, but I'd be lying if I said this week hasn't been all about PSO2. It's just one of those games that gets its hooks in, and it's like I said on the Day Zero update, Final Fantasy XIV is like this extensive full course meal. It leaves you completely full, but you're ready for more the moment after you're done. Some days you just want a burrito. And that is where PSO2 comes in. And I've set up a Discord server where it's kind of serving as a hub for our co-op gaming exercises and just planning and what have you. And it's also kind of becoming a Game Addicts Forums reunion point. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. But yeah, PSO2 is probably going to be on my regular list of games over on the Day Zero update for a very long time to come. I do still have some very complicated feelings about it, but just the core experience of the game itself is fantastic. And I look forward to seeing where this Discord, server ends up going. So there's that. And I did hit a bit of a milestone on the stock market this week. As of today, I have made over $100 in lifetime profits. It's not much in the grand scheme, but compared to the amount of money that I put in, it's a win, and I'll certainly take it as one. I definitely feel like this is something that I could really turn into something. So, yeah, that's been my week.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
Yeah, also PSO2. Keep me out of the casino, but don't keep me out of the casino. Really, just let me go there because it's nice. It's nice. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of work on my missions, though, and I should be doing a lot more work on my missions and a lot less work in that casino.
You're leveling off of it. I can't criticize.
Well, I've almost hit the cap with that because it was just the intro quests.
Oh.
For the casino, and I think I only have like two of them left. So
you got a lot of mileage out of that, though. You were in the levels of 20s doing that, and I didn't think that was.
Well, it was that, and some of the others, like my dailies and things like that. So
okay,
yeah, there's a little more in that, but getting all the XP. I'm not really nice. Getting all the XP right now, though.
A lot of it, clearly.
Yeah. I think I'm level 24 now. So, nice. And I was also working on leveling up one of my other pets. So, but I still like my killer one. So I keep wandering around. It's okay.
Have you checked the titles counter for any bonuses you can get there?
No, I haven't yet, and I need to do that.
Yeah, I would bet you've got some 15,000 experience tickets waiting for you.
Ooh.
That would be nice. Because a lot of titles come with those.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to 50 so I could go do the server-wide stuff.
So
the big events that they keep calling out for. But yeah, I have been going whenever I'm around to the Hatsune Miku concerts. Because why not, right?
Yes, you do.
Right? And, you know, so they're all screaming, encore, encore, encore. Some motherfucker types in Enrique. died. That was pretty good. But been doing that. Also been playing some more Animal Crossing because I had been neglecting my island a little bit, believe it or not. And they were complaining that I hadn't been there for a while. And I was playing Oregon Trail because I was mad at Trump, so I wanted him to die of dysentery, but he didn't. That's a pretty good way to blow off steam. You know, just put other people's names in there when you're mad at them. Make them die from dysentery, broken leg, whatnot.
Oh, I've done that, trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta have your little methods. And then we've been watching Space Force on Netflix. And it's good. It's really good. Super enjoying it. Didn't think I was gonna like it that much, but I didn't even know who was in it. And it's got like freaking John Malkovich and Steve Carell and a bunch of other guys. And who's the chick that plays Phoebe?
Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow's in there too. although she's not in every single episode because something a little unusual happens to her and we don't know why it happens yet. But we're only in episode 5. So I was a little hesitant to start a new series, especially since, you know, nobody's going to be able to do the next seasons of these because of the pandemic, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about later. But it's nice. And also been cranking up the air conditioner. I don't know what it was here today. Maybe 90? I have no idea, but it felt miserable. And we had the air conditioner on, and all I did was run to Target to pick up one of those orders that you put online, and then they bring it to your car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing was that my box of IBC root beer was missing a bottle. Get home and I'm like, well, I hope somebody got a tip. So yeah, maybe I won't buy vanilla ice cream and make root beer floats. Maybe we'll just drink root beer. But really, that's about it around here. Kind of a quiet week, other than keeping up with the news. So, Brandon, what have you been doing?
Well, first and foremost, I have it. I have a copy of The Last of Us Part 2. It finished loading in my PlayStation. It's now waiting for me to play it after we're done here. And, man, I have been loving looking at the reviews for this game because, holy shit, I have never seen so many people so divided on a game that is this acclaimed.
Huh. Like, do you think the people who are knocking it maybe didn't play the first one?
No.
Well, it's a number of reasons. A lot of those people, of course, didn't play the first one because, you know, that was a late PS3 title. And, you know, obviously it got a remaster and a lot of people haven't played it. Yeah. Some of it is because of those infamous leaks that came out. And for the record, apparently, although a lot of that stuff in those leaks is apparently out of context, some of it is also just straight up bullshit.
Yeah.
A lot of people basically seem to have a problem with the fact that you kind of switch protagonists later in the game. Like you play Ellie, obviously, but there's a deuter protagonist that you end up playing as well. And she is the reason she becomes the deuter protagonist is because she is involved with something that Ellie ends up doing that really pisses her off. And now she's out for Ellie's blood. Speaking of blood, by the way, fucking hell, the violence in this game is insane. Like, don't get me wrong, the first Last of Us was brutal as fuck. This one somehow manages to be even worse. And it doesn't help that, you know, you're not just fighting, obviously, infected this time. You know, it's not all just, you know, them. You're also fighting other humans. And if you end up, if they're in a group and you end up killing one of them and they find them, they're going to react to it. And these aren't just nameless mooks. These are like someone's brother or husband or father or mother or whatever. And they react accordingly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Hmm. I'm getting some hella Spec Ops vibes from this thing. Like, really. And guess what? Just so happens to be one of my favorite games of all time. Spec Ops The Line. So this shit's just right up my alley. And I think that's the other reason why so many people, why a lot of people are turned off by it. They don't like the idea of playing a game that actually makes them have to think. Like, really? It's just because, I mean, the game, it has things to say. And it has a message to it. And, well, you know how parts of the gaming world are all about keeping politics out of gaming.
Hmm.
It doesn't really matter anyway, though, because this thing's already sold a boatload of copies either way. So Sony gets to reap all of the worlds, and they can just die mad.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, I'm still playing a bunch of PS Now games. I'm still playing Red Faction Guerrilla, which is still one of the most satisfying games on the planet, but also kind of frustrating, because, well, like, one of the, if anybody who's ever played Red Faction Guerrilla knows that, like, one of the major sort of features of that game is the Geomod. Specifically the modified version of the Geomod with all of these destructible environments. Like, your sort of, like, common equipment that you have is a sledgehammer. And you can basically take down a whole building just using a sledgehammer and, you know, weakening its foundation so that it collapses in on itself. Problem is that if you're also too close, you take damage.
Yeah, because you just have a building.
I'm guessing from the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That kills people.
This can especially be a problem when you are, like, trying to destroy a building in a mission and you've got what they call the drones, which are basically just the EDF's troops trying to, you know, turn you into Swiss cheese while you're trying to do all this shit. So it's a little involved. Doesn't keep, stop from making how unbelievably fun and cathartic it all is. Yeah, one of my other favorites I've also been playing is the first Red Faction, the original Red Faction. Any of you guys played the original Red Faction?
Just the original demo disc. I think I've still got kicking around here somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I've already talked about this. The original Red Faction was one of those sort of like first wave of FPS games that came out around the time of Half-Life, when suddenly everybody realized that, you know, you could actually have, like, cinematic events happen in the game and not just have to, like, cut to a cutscene. And, you know, this is a game that really sort of set, you know, it really exploits that. Mm. Let me put it that way. It was also, like, since it's a Red Faction game, it was the first game that they put out that had, you know, the Geomod capability, which meant that you could, since the game more or less takes place in like an asteroid mine, you are basically going around through, like, mine tunnels and hallways and stuff, and there will be times when, you know, on occasion you'll come across a door that is locked and there is no key about to use it, but there is a mole tank that is nearby. So why try and force the door open when you can just, you know, use the mole tank to make one?
It's called efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so if anybody's got PS Now, I highly recommend those two games. They're a lot of fun. Red Faction looks pretty primitive now because...
PS2.
Like, yeah, I mean, that game came out in like 99, so, you know, it's a little over 20 years old, but damn, looks, it's still a lot of fun. It still holds up. It's still really solid. Mm. And remember, that's from Volition, the Saints Row people.
Yeah.
Other than that, books, just reading books as usual. I got the, my copy of The Rediscovery of Mankind by Cordwainer Smith, which is like his, complete collection of all the short fiction he published in his, he wrote in his lifetime, all of which taking place in his, famous instrumentality universe. Cordwainer Smith was his real name was Paul Linebarger, and he was he lived an incredible life. Even though he was born in Milwaukee, his dad was a member of the consulate, so he ended up spending like a lot of his childhood in places like, he spent his childhood in places like China, Japan, the Soviet Union, the Philippines. He could basically speak five languages by the time he was 20. His godfather was none other than Dr. Sun Yat-sen, the father of modern China. He was also a part-time member of the forerunner of the CIA. He actually wrote the book on psychological warfare. And by that, I mean he literally wrote the book Psychological Warfare, which is still used, apparently. He is the guy who managed to, when Japanese troops in the Philippines, when, you know, they were trying to find a way around, it was like, you know, because Japanese troops during World War II, they didn't surrender.
No.
Yeah, they never did. So he came up with this idea of like, okay, so he came up with a series of words, a series of Japanese words that had things like loyalty, mercy, sacrifice, and when said all together, just so happened to sound like the words "I surrender." That is the true story.
Yeah.
That's pretty sneaky.
Oh yeah, and he actually wrote outside of, you know, the psychological warfare, he wrote a couple of books under the name Felix C. Forrest that were psychological novels. Then he wrote a spy novel under the name of, I think it was Carter Smith or Christopher Smith, called Atomsk, which you can actually still find. But as far as like science fiction was concerned, he wrote under the name Cordwainer Smith. For those who don't know what a cordwainer is, it's basically an old-timey word for somebody who makes shoes. And he wrote all of his stories in this extensive sort of future history that lasts like 15,000 years, and it's, if you've ever watched Evangelion and you ever wondered where like the whole idea of the instrumentality project comes from, Cordwainer Smith is the guy who actually coined that phrase in a science fiction context. Because basically the instrumentality, or it's called the instrumentality of mankind, is basically a kind of quasi-religious technocracy run by a group of psionics. And it's based around things like, the first like story he ever actually published under that byline, Cordwainer Smith, is a short story called Scanners Live in Vain. And it's basically based around this idea of sort of Cordwainer Smith's view of space travel. Smith did not view space travel as like a great adventure. In his imagination, space was actually painful. Like it is mentally and psychologically torturous to actually endure. And so in this early part of his future history, they come up with a group of individuals who, you know, who run like barges and interstellar ships. And the only reason they're able to do this is because they have all of their nerve endings severed and have the back of their eyes. They have a lead shield that's like surgically implanted behind their eyes. And so because of that, they're able to actually withstand, you know, the quote unquote pain of space. but at the sacrifice of not having any, well, feeling, basically. And the majority of the people who man these ships are called, well, they're just convicts, basically. That's the majority of them. But there is a small group of them that are called scanners, and these are people who voluntarily have the procedure done to them, and their job is to ride on these ships so that they can scan the little boxes that these on the chests of these convicts that monitors, you know, their heart rate and their nervous systems and all that, because they can't feel pain or anything. And then, and in return, once a month, they're allowed to go back to Earth and do what's something called cranching, which is where there's a technology they use that allows them to temporarily feel again. So suddenly they can smell things again, they can taste foods, they can, you know, experience like exhaustion and all of this stuff, they can actually have sex, stuff like that. But then that one, the guy, the hero of the story, who is himself a scanner, he gets invited to a meeting where he discovers that a scientist has discovered a way to actually let people travel through space without needing to deal with this procedure, which basically makes all of the scanners obsolete. And so all the scanners decide that they want to kill him. And that's just kind of the whole basis of the story. That's just one story, by the way. But that's the type of writer Cordwainer Smith was. He wrote basically all of his science fiction output can basically be contained in one book of short fiction and a single novel. But there's an awful lot of good ideas in those two. And other than that, just movies, stuff on Netflix. I was watching not just Netflix, but like also online and stuff. Nothing really to say there. So yeah, that's about all, everything. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good here too.
All right. Well then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So I thought it would be a little bit sort of relevant, I think, if we went back very briefly and visited some events that were related to a certain thing that happened in 1991. And if you've been keeping up with the current events of the last month or so, you probably are going to already know where this is going. All right, in 1991, a gentleman by the name of George Holliday was filming, was in I think it was like a condo or an apartment or a friend's apartment somewhere in Los Angeles, where he is filming a bunch of friends. They're having a party. And then over to the side, he notices something happening outside of a window. So he takes his camcorder and he puts on the, you know, he activates the, you know, the magnification, and he's sort of slowly draws in on what's happening. And what he ended up doing was he was the guy who filmed the beating of Rodney King.
Yep.
He is the person, because of him, we know what actually happened. We got the whole thing on tape. It was a complete coincidence, and we only have this tape because he just happened to notice that something weird was happening off to the side. So when the tape went public, the fucking country went insane. Because this was the first time in American history where the misconduct of the Los Angeles Police Department had actually been filmed, and so was actually viewable for everyone in America. Mm-hmm. And so, as what's happened since the death of George Floyd, America basically became divided over the issue of police brutality and, you know, excessive force. Now, the big difference, of course, now is at this point, the tide has basically turned permanently. There is no going back now. But this was about the first time that this had actually been made public to people. And suddenly, as anybody who has seen the way that, you know, our cops have acted with the death of George Floyd, you know, feeling like suddenly they were being affronted You know, that people suddenly realize, oh, yeah, you know, the police, our whole, like, law enforcement setup, it's got a really fucked up history, and frankly, it's just obsolete, and it just doesn't really work anymore. And, of course, the cops are like, fuck no, we're the thin blue line. We're, you know, how dare you question us? By the way, the Atlanta right now, a bunch of cops are, like, doing a work stoppage. It hasn't done anything.
Yeah, you know, they did that in New York, what, about a year ago?
Yeah.
And a bunch of arrests went down for minor traffic violations was the top one that went down, and some other things, and there was no chaos in the streets. There was, all there was less people going into jail.
Yeah. So basically, were, that whole thin blue line thing is demonstrably bullshit.
Yeah.
And around the sort of, you know, the atmosphere that was happening at the time, a certain song became, it wasn't even a single. In fact, it was kind of a B-side. It's a song you've probably been hearing now very frequently. It's a little song called Cop Killer.
Oh, yeah. It got played a lot back then.
And Cop Killer was a song by the band Body Count, whose lead singer and vocalist just so happened to be, you know, now legendary rapper Ice-T. And, you know, Ice-T's always had, like, this, you know, he's always been, like, a... He's always been a heavy metal fan. You know, he lived for a good deal of you know, his childhood with his cousin Earl, who was also a rock music fan, and so he ended up, you know, listening a lot of this stuff in a kid. He's like, yeah, this shit's all right. And you know, he kind of realized that, you know, you could, you know, especially like by the time the 80s came around and you had like bands like Metallica and Megadeth and Anthrax and, you know, Nuclear Assault and all of these like very serious politically charged thrash metal bands, he realized that, you know, the type of like grittiness and, you know, dark material that, you know, you used to see in old school gangster rap, you could actually bring that over into heavy metal as well. And so he decided to found a band in 1990 that was Body Count. And they released their debut album on March 10th, 1992. And obviously, as this was all happening, the whole thing about, you know, the Rodney King shit and police brutality, still a big deal. And keep in mind, this was also just, say, I don't know, about a month or so away from when the L.A. riots happened.
No, I think that they were maybe even closer. I thought that the L.A. riots
they actually
were like...
started in April.
Oh, really?
Like
I thought
April,
they were right
May.
On the heels of the video coming out.
Yeah, well, no, the L.A. riots started after the verdict.
Ah, yep.
Yeah. Because, you know, you had this clear case of police brutality, and yet all of them ended up walking away scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ice-T is, you know, more famously, he is a rapper. And, you know, he is not just a rapper. He's very much an OG rapper. I mean, he's been in the rap game since the mid-80s. He's been around a while, is what I'm saying. And he was also, like, one of the first gangster rappers, you know, along with people like N.W.A. and all those guys. And, again, it's not a hip-hop album. In fact, Body Count's music can basically be considered crossover thrash, which is, like, thrash metal that's heavily inspired by, like, the hardcore punk scene. And remember, this is California, where, like, hardcore punk was the shit. And it's reflected in the music. So, like, and as far as, like, lyrical themes and stuff, like, just, like, some of the other songs, there's, like, a KKK bitch, which is where he I will be honest. There's still some of like the excesses of old school gangster rap in some of this. KKK bitches about how he is like doing a. You guys ever heard the phrase POG before?
Yes.
Stands for fat ass white girl. Well, basically, it's about his fat ass white girlfriend whose daddy just so happens to be in the KKK and how much he gets off on the fact that he's fucking her in the ass while her dad is a Klansman.
Nice.
Yeah. But the album, the song that most people remember is the last song on the album. That's the song Cop Killer. And you've probably been here. You know, you can actually hear it on YouTube now anytime you want to. So it's not a fucking obscurity anymore. By the way, try it. It's actually a nice song. I mean, it's violent and angry as all fucking hell, but goddamn, it is a smoking tune. The song was actually kind of inspired by the song Psycho Killer, which was an old school Talking Heads song. It's basically a protest song, and it's specifically about the police brutality in LAPD. It's basically up there with, like, Fuck the Police, you know, the old school NWA yeah. song. It's, you know, it's only just now that most people are starting to realize that these guys have been right the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just now people realize, holy shit, these guys have been telling us the truth. Like, and keep in mind, this is 1992. This is like over 20, this is almost 30 years ago. And as soon as the song started getting airplay, man, the fucking establishment hated it.
Oh, God, the people at the church.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in high school, going on about that song. I mean, it was almost as demonized as video games.
Yeah.
Fun fact, our good old friend Jack Thompson got his start with that.
Yep.
Everyone, President George H.W. Bush, you know, the first Bush, he got involved. Various law enforcement agencies, especially police unions. We'll be talking about some of those a little later in the show.
You better be.
Critics were concerned that it was promoting anti-police sentiment. You think? There were, like, demonstrations by police unions chanting, you know, Ice-T must go, he must be smashed, stuff like that. Fucking... This is still, like, one of my favorite moments in history. During the 1992 shareholders meeting for Time Warner, one of the minor shareholders just so happened to be Charlton Heston. And when he was given his opportunity to address the meeting, he recited the lyrics from both Cop Killer and KKK Bitch. KKK Bitch, by the way, actually name checks Tipper Gore. And guess who also made her stance known on this particular album?
Oh, I recall vividly.
Basically, he was trying to embarrass the company into dropping the album. Death threats were sent to Warner Brothers record executives. Stockholders threatened to pull out. Eventually, what ended up happening is Ice-T decided to basically pull the song from the album and replace it with a hip-hop song called Freedom of Speech. But now, you know, modern days now, you can just listen to the whole original album on YouTube for no charge. It's not a problem. But, like, the original old record, you know, vinyl and CD editions with the original pressings, they go for hundreds of dollars now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And by the way, Body Count hasn't disappeared either. In fact, they released a new album in 2017.
Yep.
And it is good.
And speaking of Megadeth, Dave Mustaine had a guest appearance on it.
Yep, he's on the song Civil War. He's the he contributes, you know, solo guitar to it, and he's also the voiceover at the beginning as well. That song No Lives Matter is so fucking relevant right now. Goddamn. In fact, I think that album is only now sort of becoming a big thing now, because that album was released in 2017. It's 2020 now. It's almost 3 years, and basically the shit that that album was talking about has suddenly become real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's always been real. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And,
it's just real in the public eye.
Yeah. And, of course, Ice-T, eventually he would, you know, further his acting career. Now he's a regular on Law & Order.
Yeah.
Talk about your irony.
Right, and all those people in the church that were screaming about him while Tipper Gore was screaming too, you know, they don't remember. They're just like, oh, there's this guy. Well, you know, we're not racist. We watch a black guy on TV on Law & Order. Mm-hmm. These stupid people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's been another edition of President Run of Factoid. So, yeah, and again, I do recommend all of Body Count's discography. It's good shit.
Yeah.
Good angry shit.
I also want to recommend the new Lamb of God album.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about angry shit? It's like 10 tracks of just now.
Yeah.
It couldn't have come at a better time. It's fantastic. Yeah. Listen to it if you like some really angry metal from people who are just completely fed up with this shit. So
it's self-titled too, by the way.
Yeah.
It's their 10th album.
And it's
self-titled. It was supposed to come out in May 8th and ended up getting delayed. Because take a wild guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know why.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fucking looking at this. I'm like, God damn, that is some angry shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real good.
All right. Anyway. All right. Now with that out of the way, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always, we start our show proper with the assholes of the week. And this week, the wrestling industry has had its Me Too movement. Or Me Too moment. Of course, it's actually called hashtag speak out, but... It kind of confirms a lot of really salacious rumors about the wrestling industry.
Yeah. This was something that was brought to my attention earlier today by one of my friends, and holy shit, did this snowball quickly.
Yeah. So give us some choice tidbits here. To put out like what the scope of this actually is.
It's hard to really narrow down a single case, but if you just check out the hashtag and everything that's attached to it, I mean, there have been upwards of 70 people called out on this over about maybe a day and a half, 2 days. So, and this is, it's largely rooted in, the UK from what I can gather, but, there are some people who are either working in North America or are just North American talents that have been called out. And yeah, this stuff is very hard to read, honestly. But yeah, like I said, it's hard to nail down like any single one that stands out because it's also just terrible to even consider. But yeah, it seems like if you're refreshing it every few minutes, there's another name that's getting mentioned about something either specific or just kind of in passing. But yeah, this is something that's going to have.
Would there be any like major figures we would recognize?
The biggest name that I've heard on this is Matt Riddle.
Wow.
Yeah, he's obviously NXT coming up to the main roster. I think it was supposed to be tonight. I'm not sure if that's still happening or not, but let's face it, the company has done more tone deaf things in the past.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me.
Keep in mind, WWE has had some serious, serious scandals happen in the past, like back during when they were still WWF. The steroid scandal alone almost broke the industry. But
yeah.
let's see, but yeah, some of the other people, Jim Cornette and his wife Stacy, Bill Early, let's see. Yeah, they both done work on the UK. David Starr is also here. Yeah, I'm gonna be guessing that this isn't gonna just stop at the UK. We're gonna see this spread to the US as well.
Yeah. I mean, it already kind of has if Matt Riddle is on the list.
Yeah, and that means the McMahons are probably gonna get involved in this too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be too surprising.
Even if it's just in the part of kicking people out the door, which apparently has already started.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But I won't be surprised if Vince McMahon himself ends up showing up in one of these at some point.
Yeah. If you check their website right now, you're seeing people talked about being let go, and they aren't even being wished the best in their future endeavors, which has kind of been the catchphrase of people being let go there over the years. But
yeah,
you can kind of tell people are not pleased within the company either. So
yeah.
It's going to be quite something watching this play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just the harassment that I'm seeing here. There's like the wrestling industry has so many other problems that they need to deal with too, like working conditions and employment status would be something to look at. So
that one's been a long time coming.
Yes, it's a lot of stuff is coming due recently, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. People who've been got here, let's see. From the WWE, we've got Jordan Devlin, Matt Riddle, Joe Coffey, Ligero, Wolfgang, Travis Banks, Jack Gallagher, and Sid Scala. We got some from AEW as well. Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, Jake Hager, and Justin Roberts. And we've also gotten allegations against Will Ospreay, Scotty Davis, Marty Scurll, David Starr, Joey Ryan, Ram, Jack Sexsmith. That was just from a couple of hours ago. So
And they're still coming in. Like, this has just opened the floodgates.
Hmm.
Yeah. And let's see, you've also got one basically calling guys like, wrestling fans themselves are really creepy.
Yeah. I think we already kind of knew that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't help that, WWE kind of sort of encourages it with their marketing.
Kind
of. But anyway. All right. So moving on from there, we now have our Heroes of the Week. And Heroes of the Week right now is just in general the American public, because they now realize that Juneteenth is a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a meme. I apparently it's the case in other parts of the country too, but I just shared it. It said, raise your hand if you grew up in Utah and had never heard of Juneteenth until today.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't it until 1973 that, black people could actually be members of the church?
Something like that. Well, it was later than that, because it was because they were under investigation from the Carter administration, and then they had a revelation that...
which is usually just byword for, we just pulled this directly out of our ass.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how that went down.
Basically, Juneteenth, it commemorates when General Gordon Granger... Army, for the Union Army, announced the federal orders of the Emancipation Proclamation in Galveston, Texas, proclaiming that all slaves in Texas were free. He actually did it through the local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually still have like that. If you go to the Wikipedia page, you can actually.
Yeah, they have an image of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he keep
heading... Copy of the General Order Number 3.
Didn't he keep heading north, spreading the word? Because, of course, people were not voluntarily telling their slaves that they had been freed.
No, they had to, they actually had to do that and like travel through the state because
and so many of them were kept illiterate too. So it needed to be word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's true. Juneteenth is a whole thing.
And it's going to be more of a thing going forward.
People
yeah.
And of course, now, yeah.
I mean,
of course,
I like to.
Now because the. Go ahead.
I like to consider myself, you know, enlightened. And I vaguely remember hearing the word Juneteenth before, but no. Nah. I mean, no. Nah. Thank you, 2020, at least for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I live in Georgia. Take a wild guess whether I was taught about it or not.
Probably not.
No. There's a lot of stuff they didn't teach us about in school.
Yeah.
Oh, so
funny how that works.
Yeah. But our other heroes of the week is the six justices in SCOTUS who... Supreme Court of the United States, who said that civil rights employment statutes do in fact protect members of the LGBTQ community.
Which is massive.
Yeah.
That's got to be the top good news of the entire month, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, that's the top good news of their entire life.
Yeah. It was
that's
in fact
struggle.
Yeah, and it was a
6-1, 6-3
decision. And the reason that is significant is because one of the agreeing opinions just so happened to be one of the judges that Trump nominated for the Supreme Court.
Yes,
and he wrote the actual opinion too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, isn't that funny?
Which floored everybody, especially him. And then he suddenly starts like, can I get some new judges?
No, you can't. Mm.
No, you can't. Mm. They're there for life. Yeah, Supreme Court's a lifetime appointment. The only thing that you get out of there, only thing that gets you out of there is death or retirement.
Mm. Yep.
And even if you're retired, they may call you back in on occasion.
Good Lord. Mm-hmm. I lived most of my life with Strom Thurmond being on the board, or not on the board, on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, forever and ever and ever.
Strom Thurmond was a congressman.
Yeah, he wasn't a justice.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
Oh, well, sorry.
There have been some, like, very reactionary justices, like Antonin Scalia, for example, who is dead now.
Yeah.
He's worm food.
Yeah. Term limits.
Yeah.
Can they do that for the Supreme Court, do you think? Just spitballing.
You know what
might
you actually
create
can
more
do?
Problems than it.
Here's the thing about the Supreme Court, especially when it regards to the president. If the president can get enough support, they can actually increase the size of the number of judges on the court. So right now it's like, let's see, like 9 judges.
Mm-hmm.
They could like theoretically increase it to like 12. I mean, not 12, but like 13 or 11. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt actually tried to do that when he was trying to get some of his other New Deal reforms put through. But he was accused of stuffing the court, even though it's actually within his constitutional rights to do it. But, yeah. Anyway, moving on from there, we now have the proper show proper. And first things
probably
first.
Talk about the other Supreme Court story since we're on the
show. Oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that one because we got kind of a 1-2 punch this week. Because on top of that little thing with the civil rights employment statutes, they also blocked the Trump administration's attempts to end DACA.
Yay!
Now, don't celebrate just yet, because for one thing, it was a 5-4 decision. And the only reason it ended up going the way it did wasn't so much because they had any opinion on DACA itself, but the fact that the administration so completely bungled the process of actually bringing this case up that they were like, no.
Yeah. Which is a polite way of saying, get your shit together, but by the time you do, it's not going to matter because you're not going to be in office. So
yeah.
Basically.
Mm.
Fingers crossed.
Mm.
So yeah, that's just...
some positive news.
Yeah, some. And now we're about to go to the negative stuff. First things first, Florida is likely to become the next outbreak epicenter. Because it's Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Florida, it's not really even necessarily because of, you know, Governor DeSantis. It's just that Florida is one of those places where a disease like COVID-19 thrives.
Hmm. Well,
I mean, it is God's waiting room for a reason. That's why it's all that.
It's also the fault of the rest of the fucking nation. I can't even tell you how many people that I know of in Kentucky, they're going down to, like, Panama City Beach and shit like that. Mm-hmm. People are just going to Florida in fucking droves. And we've got to put some blame on the tourists because they're, you know... This shouldn't fucking be going. But hello, Florida. Go ahead and shut your beaches down. Ruin your economy, sure. But can we all just live through this?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Living. Not as important as money.
Apparently not.
Mm.
I mean, they've been telling that, drumming it into us for, what, 600 years now?
Yeah.
Welcome to the new serfdom.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, so that's with Florida.
We're precedent for this, too, because, like, Texas opened up. I think we're one of the first to open up, and now they're running with, you know, like 2,000, 2,500 cases a day coming in.
Yep.
So,
and they're, like, they're hardline holding to the thing about all the kids going back to school, too.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah. And it just gets worse because a whistleblower actually revealed this week that the TSA actually failed to properly protect staff and passengers during the pandemic, meaning they endangered both staff and passengers.
Yep.
That sounds kind of like class action to me.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Oh, yeah. I smell a lawsuit.
Yeah, it could be the airlines that could bring that suit. That's the thing.
There's been tangible... damage done to a lot of people and their families.
Yep.
And the people who do survive, they're coming out of it with, you know, 1,400,000 and all various amounts of hospital bills.
Yeah. I mean, you already think of all the other reasons why people already hate having to deal with the TSA and...
Because of the invasion of our fucking privacy.
Yeah. And you realize, we don't really need you guys either.
No, they benefit us nothing.
Mm.
It's been studied time and time again.
They call it security theater for a reason.
Yeah.
Because it's pure theater, and it accomplishes nothing.
Yeah.
For more bullshittery, do you guys remember the story of that Navy captain who, because he was getting stonewalled from all other channels, he had to... publicly announced to the press that, you know, there was a COVID-19 pandemic on his ship and they weren't getting any help.
Oh, yeah, and he probably saved a lot of lives by doing so.
And he ended up getting fired.
Yep.
And leaving the ship with thunderous applause from his crew.
Mm.
Yeah, Navy's not reinstating him. Reasons. They're petty.
Because reference future talks in this episode about the police union.
Yeah. Again, petty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's especially hard with when you get the military involved because military are hyper traditionalist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the very top of the hyper traditionalist is the Marines.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Navy friend of mine told me a joke. Do you know what the word Marine stands for? Stands for My Ass Rides in Navy Equipment.
Nice.
All right. Okay, so next up, down in Atlanta, in my part of the country, there was the death of Rashard Brooks. I believe Rashard Brooks is the guy who was killed outside of that Wendy's.
Yeah.
Yeah. The officers, they turned themselves in this week on charges in the death of that particular individual. We'll see if anything comes from it.
Well, in this climate, something might.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only other officer to get affected by the shit like this. One of the officers from the Louisville Police Department who were involved in the killing of Breonna Taylor in Kentucky.
Well, she slept in her bed quietly.
See, I keep hearing like different stories with that. Some people I've heard say she was sleeping in her bed. Some say that she had woken up and was in the hallway.
Well, the person they were looking for was already in police custody.
Yeah. So I'm like, was she shot in the bed and then tried to crawl out and then let out in the hallway, or did she hear a previous scuffle, get up, then in the hallway when they shot her? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one of the officers has actually been fired. Now, the thing with this, though, is whether or not they will stay fired.
Well, didn't the police chief step down, too?
Yeah, police chief also stepped down. And I believe the thing with this, though, is that as it's been shown in the past, there have been instances of when police officers who have been accused and basically shown gross misconduct like this, instead of basically leaving the police department, they basically just get shipped to another department.
Yeah.
Or they just move out of state and find another department to join up with.
Yeah. Florida.
So the question is,
they're taken.
So the question is, like, is he going to stay fired?
Probably not.
Because this is the point when the police union gets involved, and...
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And whenever they do discipline or whatever, in at least 25% of the cases, they usually end up getting rehired.
Mm-hmm.
Because the police union throws a fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so we'll see what that happens. In another related story, over in Minnesota, the Minnesota House of Representatives actually passed the Minnesota Police Accountability Act of 2020. Mm-hmm. Let's see what this does. Let's see. It addresses banning of things like chokeholds and warrior-style training for police. That last one is actually very significant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys... So I don't know if you guys have heard of a guy by the name of Dave Grossman.
Yeah, that asshat.
Yeah, if you've been hearing a lot about this topic in the last few weeks, this guy's name has probably come up. Dave Grossman is first of all, he's not a cop. That's the first thing.
No, but he spends like 200 days out of the year going around training them.
Mm-hmm. And he claims to have created this new science called killology. He does have like military experience. Like he was a sergeant in the 82nd Airborne, platoon leader in the 9th Infantry, general staff officer, commander, company commander in 7th Light Infantry, paratrooper, graduate of Ranger School, became professor of psychology at West Point. And basically, he spends most of the year going around to all of these police departments trying to – and it's when you suddenly realize where some of the issues with the training comes from is this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he basically goes around and teaches these cops to basically be afraid for their lives at all time.
And trains them to be predators.
Yeah.
And think of themselves.
And that's not hyperbole either.
No, it's not. So what does that make us?
Prey.
The general public, yeah.
And, you know, because they've got, like, tapes of his lectures you can watch on YouTube. It's not hyperbole. This is literally how he teaches. Because he's basically trying to treat beat cops to be like Green Berets.
That's not very useful.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so that warrior-style training, that's part of it. Also reforming accountability measures and updating public safety culture, and giving officers more access to training and reviews. So yeah, that's essentially what this bill is addressing, and it's going now to the state Senate. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it'll probably pass.
Yeah. All I'm hoping is that Dave Grossman ends up getting out of a job.
Yeah.
Because yeah, there is creepy. So much blood on that man's hands.
And he's creepy. Like,
oh yeah, he is extremely creepy. He is a very unsettling person. He's
yes.
very intense.
Well, he came up with Killology. That's yeah. that's enough. I mean, yeah. really.
And I yeah, that Killology thing is all you need to know.
Yeah. It's like yeah. yeah, okay, I'm done. You yeah. don't get hired.
So, also in this week, in the certain, you know, certain atmosphere, we've all kind of been sort of taking new looks at things we have taken for granted for a long time, not just police culture, but just culture in general. And one of the things people suddenly remembered out of nowhere is that some of the brand names, that the classic brands that we know and have probably used many times of their times, have some unfortunate history involving racial caricatures.
Yeah.
Probably the one most people are hearing about this week is Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you guys know what Aunt Jemima is, right? It's a pre-made pancake mix.
Yeah.
And it's in my pantry.
Yep.
Both of them.
And this is not a slight as at the product itself. The product itself is of pretty good quality.
Yeah.
And relatively affordable. That's not the problem. The problem comes with the branding. Now, both, you know, Aunt Jemima is based on the mammy stereotype. And basically a mammy in old, like, minstrel show imagery is a matronly black woman who is basically like a live-in maid.
Which is a nice word to say, slave.
Kinda.
If you remember, you know, what's her name from Gone with the Wind, that was a mammy stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Jemima for hers is doubly so because the woman who was the model for the original, label for Aunt Jemima was herself an enslaved woman or formerly enslaved woman. She did, of course, because, you know, 1865 happened, so she got her freedom. And she became a cook, a professional cook. And, you know, she ended up being the sort of model for this particular brand. And yet the thing is, every time they used her on the brand, they always exaggerated her racial features, so it always comes off like a racial stereotype, mm-hmm. like a caricature. And they didn't have to. And, of course, recently, you know, people have realized that, you know, Aunt Jemima is still around, but they changed the way that, you know, Jemima herself is on the brand name by making her look more modern. They also, for some reason, lightened her skin.
Okay. Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's the other sort of big racist brand name everybody remembers, which is Uncle Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Ben's rice. Again, not a bad product. Good quality rice. But Uncle Ben himself is based on the old uncle stereotype, which was the sort of male counterpart to the mammy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And the thing is, the Uncle Ben, this is not the first time Uncle Ben's has had this issue. They've been having this issue at least since the 60s.
Yeah.
This is why they've constantly, like, tried to update his image. Like, now Uncle Ben is made out to be like a corporate CEO type character. They even like have like a part of the website where you can visit his office, where he's got like his journal and stuff there.
Hmm.
You're not really helping.
No.
No. Because that's patronizing.
Yeah. And of course, we don't have to just stick with African American stereotypes with this too. Have you looked at the Land O'Lakes label lately?
They changed it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah. No, they actually just changed it this year.
Oh, God, this has been the longest year.
Yeah. She is, the Land O'Lakes, Squaw is mm-hmm. no longer on the label anymore. Mm. So there is no longer a... Essentially, in hindsight, is a fairly... Compared to Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima, the Land O'Lakes Indian is actually fairly innocuous as a caricature goes, but it's still very much a caricature.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't do that thing, that weird trick anymore where you cut out the space on her chest and move her knees up so it looks like she got boobs.
Do people really do that?
Google it.
Mm. Oh, my God.
It's old. It's old. That's an old fucking thing. Like, my dad used to do that in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, as bad as this is, it used to be a lot worse. There was a long time when people used, like, racial caricature stuff in, like, really... Stuff that some of was actually even too intense for the era they were in. Mm. Probably one of the most infamous is a chain of fried chicken restaurants called the Coon Chicken Inn.
No, no.
Yeah, real thing. And the door of all the restaurants was basically the giant mouth of a black porter. With, like, the big white teeth and everything.
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm. There was also a brand of dark-colored toothpaste that was called Darkie Toothpaste.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so it used to be a lot worse, but a lot of this shit's still around.
Yeah.
I remember going to church camp probably my first year, so I would have been 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't grow up down there. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. And they kept making coon jokes.
Yeah.
And then...
See, that one actually took me a while to catch on to as well, because I was like, what, were you talking about raccoons?
Yeah, no.
When I like raccoons.
Yeah, when I figured out what they were talking about,
I was like, holy shit!
Lost all...
That's what
I never
that
had
means?
Any respect for them to begin with.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's... You don't grow up hearing that shit, and then, like, even when I was in my 20s, I heard somebody came in with a black eye, and I'm like, what happened to you? And he's like, got into a fight with a shine. Had no idea what he was talking about. Mm. I had to go ask somebody old, and she told me. And then I was mad.
That's because that is some old-timey racism right there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, like, I wouldn't really like to have the marketing jobs for these companies.
No.
Because it's like, take the case of Aunt Jemima. Like, you're...
How do you win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
on the one hand, it is true, your whole brand is based around an awful racist caricature. But on the other hand, Aunt Jemima is, like, a brand that is so ubiquitous, it's almost... like a byword for pancake mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On its own.
Like, you know, you lighten her skin and then you get accused of whitewashing. You don't do anything and you get accused of propagating a racial stereotype. You're screwed out of the way.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, moving on from there, speaking of racist bullshit. So, have you guys ever seen that adorable little clip of, like, the two toddlers, one's white and one's black, and one, they hadn't seen each other in a while, and they're friends, and they both run down the street to meet each other and give each other a hug?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody altered that video to make it look like the black kid was running away from the white kid.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just somebody, man.
Well, he didn't actually do it himself.
Did he try to claim ownership of it?
He might have. I don't know.
I might have read it wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Because whoever docked it, they also put, like, the CNN fake logo in the center, and he tried to tweet it out as authentic. And, of course, Twitter came
in. With a misspelling.
Yeah, with misspelling.
In the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And so Twitter comes in, flags it.
Yeah.
And so he has his usual temper tantrum.
Yep. Yeah, the families are just outraged. They're like, he's not going to use our video to propagate his hate. We're not even close to about that.
No.
I hope they sue the fuck out of him.
Oh, I hope they sue him into the fucking rave.
Yeah.
And get CNN on board because they use their logo.
Yeah. Also, not the only instance this week of them tweeting of the Trump campaign tweeting or retweeting something extremely fucking problematic, and that's like just putting it mildly. The committee for the whatever it's called, the committee to reelect President Trump or whatever it's called, they tweeted out a series of images that are based around Stop Antifa. So there was like, you know, stop, red stop sign, Antifa, Stop Antifa, you know, in like a red circle.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tweeted one that was literally Stop Antifa, and underneath it, an inverted red triangle. Do you know what the inverted red triangle means? It's from the same place we got the inverted pink triangle. It's one of the labels that the Nazis used on political prisoners and the during the Holocaust. They are not even pretending anymore.
No, they're not.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for the record, the actual tweet, like, it, that image with that tweet, it was barely up for, like, maybe an hour before they ended up taking it down. But enough people saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there really is no way that they can try to explain this one.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Now, also, being being anti-Antifa, doesn't that make you fascist?
Yes.
It makes you a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Antifa is literally short for anti-fascist, specifically anti-fascist action, was the name of the sort of small paramilitary that would confront the Nazis in the 30s during the lead up to Hitler's seizure of power. Them, along with other groups like the Red Front and the Iron Front, which is, if you've said the Iron Front, you know it's the Iron Front circle. It's the circle with the three arrows in it. You've probably seen it.
Yeah.
That's the Iron Front.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
Too interesting.
Anyway, during this week, because of all this shit happening, some comedians have had some old stunts come back to bite them in the ass. Mm-hmm. One of them being Jimmy Kimmel, who has announced he's going to be doing some summer leave when people realize that he did some blackface stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that.
Yeah, back in the 90s, that type of shit sort of came back as, like, shock humor.
Yeah.
Like fucking Howard Stern did it.
Yep, Jimmy Fallon did it in like 2000, so it wasn't even just the 90s.
Yeah,
like he did an impersonation of Chris Rock, and he said, "There's no excuse. I'm very sorry for making this unquestionably offensive decision, and thank all of you for holding me accountable."
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I mean, you got to give him props for owning the whole thing. I mean, it's probably sincere too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. I'm sure he probably doesn't even remember it.
He probably doesn't even remember it. I think probably, you know, if you were to ask Chris Rock at the time, he probably would have been fine with it because it was a funny bit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things that comes back to bite you in the ass because times change, and so do
they They do. I mean, there's shit that, you know, that I used to say in the 90s. I can't say that shit anymore.
No. And we're not lamenting it either.
No.
No, it's just you grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world moves on. You grow up. Society changes.
Yeah. Which, you know, to me is like, yeah, okay, it happened 20, 30 years ago. You know, I'm not that same person anymore. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You can't hold it too much against them.
Yeah,
unless they show a history of continually doing it. So
right, right.
Yeah,
or unless it's like, you know, sexual abuse or something that you can't.
Oh yeah, you never
let
that. You don't. Not just no.
Never. There's no statute of limitations on
that. No.
That.
No.
Mm-hmm. In other political news, Amy Klobuchar has actually withdrawn from the Biden vice president selection to make room for women of color. Let's be honest, her record was already going to make her a liability.
I didn't want Klobuchar in there at all. Kamala Harris can go fuck right off with
that. Yeah, that's what I was fixing to say. Yeah, Kamala Harris is also going to be a no for me, dog.
There's no fucking way they can with this. No. This is so much no.
I would say that, but remember, this is the Democrats, and they really do have the superpower of being able to pull defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
Right. They're real good at shooting themselves on a hunting trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shush, cat.
Yeah. In the state of Illinois, the governor has both expanded their vote by mail program and they're making Election Day a state holiday.
Yes. Yes. I got to tell you guys, I was not super happy about Pritzker. Voted for him. I mean, but I would have rather had somebody else. But he's been doing okay so far. And this has not been an easy first year as governor, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. You ever get the sense, like, the way things are going, it seems like on the local and state level, they're kind of trying to stack the deck so that as many people can get out and vote as possible?
Yes.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. That and also just sort of the kind of cultural revolution we're kind of undergoing right now.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
but especially, you know, in blue states where we're going to do what we can as a backlash against the horrible policies that have been put in place on a national level and funding that we've lost, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and here in Georgia, we're actually in play now. Like,
yeah, you are.
We are very much in, as far as like the presidential election goes, we are in a very good possibility of becoming a blue state. And as far as like representatives are, we're very close to becoming a purple state now. So,
yep. You're going to have kind of the same situation that's going on here. Where Chicago carries all of Illinois, and Atlanta's going to do the same thing for all of Georgia.
Yeah. And Texas is not far behind.
Hello, Austin. Keep going.
Yeah. let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. So this week, John Bolton's The Room Where It Happened book came out this week.
Well, not quite yet, I don't think.
Well, like it's getting it. Early reviews,
yeah,
basically.
So
there's, like, select copies out. Text is making the rounds. Most people think it's kind of bloated and kind of he's kind of full of himself, which, big shock. Yeah. This is John Bolton. Man never encountered a war that didn't make his mustache sexually aroused. But that doesn't stop it from hopping to the top of the book charts. Top of the New York. It's number one Amazon bestseller, number one New York Times. The only book that's behind it is that one that Trump's niece wrote.
Yeah, Mary Trump, I believe.
Yeah, PhD. Yeah. It's important you know that because she puts it on the cover.
Well, she fucking earned it. She should.
Yeah. And of course, the third book behind that is How to Be an Anti-Racist. So, things are definitely changing right now.
I'd say.
Yeah. But, so basically and the thing is, remember, again, this is John Bolton, so what he has to say does not automatically mean that you need to believe it.
No.
He is not a very trustworthy individual.
Mm-hmm. But everybody wants to hear the dish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what this comes down to, is human curiosity.
Yeah. And so some of the choice bits is about like how Trump apparently talked about how he wanted members of the press executed. He claims that he supported Premier Xi Jinping going through with the building of the re-education camps in Xinjiang.
Neither of these things would shock me.
No, exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to call bullshit on either one of those.
No. By the way, fun fact, if on the eve of the election you suddenly hear that both Melania and Barron are in Europe somewhere, that's like a good 6-to-1 chance that Trump is planning to flee the country.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, because the moment he loses the election, he can be prosecuted.
Yeah. Well, not quite. He doesn't technically stop being president until around January.
Yeah, so he has to finish his term, and then he can be prosecuted. But
like Jan 20th or so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think...
Like he's going to hang around that long?
No, he's going to GTFO. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if he thinks that he's going to be able to find a home in Russia, think again. Putin is going to be so happy to drop this asshole like a bad habit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Russia's got its own problems right now.
Yeah.
He'd probably be safer here than in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Trump, by the way, TikTok users have basically been trolling the Trump campaign. Because for those who don't know, Trump's planning on having a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. And so TikTok users have been sending in fake ticket requests. So you know that story about how over 1 million people have tried to get tickets for this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know why!
Trolling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chicago did that when he had his stupid rally here.
Yeah. Other news.
3 years ago, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other news. Target has announced it's raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour in July, so starting next month.
Yep.
Which is good, but it is still Target.
Yeah.
I still kind of want my root beer.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just, of the retail chains, Target is probably one of the ones that treats their employees the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's not a terribly high bar to cross.
No, exactly. I mean, you could trip over that bar, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got to remind people, though, the $15 an hour, that's actually the compromise amount that people agreed on.
Hmm.
In reality, if we really were to take it seriously, the minimum would be around somewhere to 19 to 20.
Yeah.
That's what the new minimum wage should be for someone to maintain a decent quality of living.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just to be able to pay the rent and put a little food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, and this next story is kind of involves, well, a couple of us. Me, Teresa, and Pat are all users of Robinhood, playing with penny stocks and stuff like that. And
I'm high rolling at the moment. But
well, yeah, you are.
Yeah,
Mr. Millionaire.
My three shares of Pinduoduo.
Yeah.
He is rolling in the dozens of dollars he currently has. Yeah. But, a gentleman in Naperville actually took his own life after he saw the negative balance on Robinhood, which was $730,000.
I'm not saying I condone it, but I'm saying I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was really young, too.
Mm-hmm.
And That's he funny. Freaked out. I mean, I could understand, too, but, I don't think he had said something like in his note or whatever that he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't understand what he was doing, and, you know, as it turns out, he probably wasn't even close to that amount.
No, in fact, he was something like 15,000 in the black.
Yeah.
System errors.
It's just the way that puts are, I think. Mm. Understanding what he was doing. I guess he had an uncle who was an investment banker, and that poor guy is probably, like, beating himself up, saying, why didn't I tell him more stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a really, really unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
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 At the very least, my bowel control might be forfeit. But I definitely understand.
Yeah. But you're not betting your rent on it.
No. Yeah. Well, and I'm not even playing with options. So it is not possible for me to hit a negative balance.
Hmm.
Yeah,
just I can lose my shirt on money that I've already put in, but
yeah.
I can't lose money that I haven't put in.
Yeah.
All right. Twitter is rolling out audio tweets.
What could possibly go wrong?
What fresh hell is this?
Yep.
Oh God, I'm already imagining the nightmares.
Yep. You're not going to be able to record 140-second. Audio clips to your Twitter account as tweets or replies.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like take a file and upload it. You have to use your phone microphone to do it. But yeah, I would expect that the sort of people that we don't particularly care too much for will find very unique ways of abusing this.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's great that a platform that is known for its stellar enforcement of its policies would implement a feature that would be incredibly hard to moderate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, good luck with that, Twitter. It's like, sometimes, like, I think they take two steps forward and then, like, four steps back.
Yeah.
God damn it, Twitter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I haven't gotten this feature yet, so I don't know about the rollout of it, or if they're slowly rolling it out, or because they made a big announcement about it, and it seems like not a lot of people have seen it yet. So, who knows?
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Now for some other just what the fuck news. Ford. Ford is getting ready to unveil a new line of Bronco SUVs.
Finally.
Problem is, the date they were getting ready to roll out and unveil the new line just so happens to also be O.J. Simpson's birthday.
Not a
no,
mistake.
Fuck, no.
Who probably.
No, I'm going to say, I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to say steer into it, embrace it. You just as well. It's a fucking Bronco. How are you going to advertise it if not this?
Like, I mean, to be fair, the only reason the Bronco is world famous is because of O.J. Simpson.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was a really good vehicle, you guys.
Yeah, but...
It's a good vehicle, but
yeah.
No.
It could run away from a whole bunch of California state troopers.
Well,
no, it didn't actually do a lot. Don't you remember? It was basically a slow chase. They were going like 20 miles an hour at most.
Yeah.
Yeah, the helicopter pilot was very, very bored. As I recall.
They tend to shake a lot when they go fast.
Bronco SUVs are so good, you'll want to stab your ex-wife and decapitate her boyfriend.
Boy, right?
No, that's not good marketing.
I'd stay away from that one.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that, like, the whole the racial unrest that came with that too, right?
Oh yeah,
Rodney King.
Uh-huh.
All because of Mark fucking Furman.
Oh God, right.
Mm. Oh, by the way, do you know what Mark Furman does these days? He's a cop apologist who makes the conservative route. Mm. He's a regular on Fox News.
Mm.
God,
far from the truth.
Yeah. But well, I wish Ford luck with these new Broncos because they're probably pretty good. But avoid marketing gaffes. Let's just
right.
I mean, you got to run. I mean, even Ford has to realize that this is literally the one thing the whole world associates with the Bronco line of SUVs.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, granted, it's not their fault that O.J. Simpson and his friend just so happened to choose that particular vehicle to lead the LAPD on a 20-mile chase down a highway. You know, with a gun pointed at his head and, you know, $5,000 in cash and a fake beard. Like,
because
he was totally innocent, guys.
Totally.
So like, maybe what they should really be selling it on is the fuel economy, because that was a long chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ford really does need to watch what they're doing, too, because they have some plans. I read something, but I don't have any details about having some self-driving cars available sooner. Hands-free driving. They didn't say self-driving.
Next year. Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't want to risk the possible
optics problem.
Yeah.
And this, I don't think, was a deliberate thing. It just, I think it just kind of happened that the date that they were going to announce it on, just when somebody checked, it was, oh, wait.
Can you imagine when they were having like their weekly stand-up meeting on that, and somebody says, hey, guys, did you realize what
fun this fact
is? Oh, shit! That would have been a great meeting.
Yeah. If Alan Mulally was still there, he probably would have gotten, that dude probably would have gotten thrown out the window. Anyways.
Mm. Anyway, next up. So obviously Kobe Bryant died in that, it was a helicopter crash. That was very tragic. It took him. It took two of his daughters.
Just one.
Well, just one of his daughters, yeah.
Their friend and family members.
Very tragic. And this week we may have found out what the cause of the crash it was. Apparently, it came out this week that the pilot might have gotten disoriented in the fog.
Mm-hmm.
In SoCal?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we were there, it was like it would roll in every morning like crazy and then burn off real quick.
Yeah.
But the pilot, I guess, had sent a text to somebody about the fog.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Most people don't really associate anything related to water with Southern California. That isn't a beach, because Southern California is basically nothing but fucking desert.
Hmm.
It is drier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Now, what I'd like to know is, did the pilot mean the fog outside the helicopter or inside the helicopter?
I'm going to go with outside.
Yeah. Because, well, no joke, that could have been a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... You know, you're driving and you think that you got your life together, and then you can't figure out what fucking temperature to keep your defrost at in order to be able to see out your damn window, especially if it's earlier in the morning and they were going for a tournament. So if it was that magical time right around 6 a.m. where everything fogs up like mad.
Yeah, like I've just been looking through, frosted windshields and not being able to see anything. So
yeah. And with, you know, like 9 or 10 breathing human beings inside.
Mm.
That's a possibility.
Hmm. Yeah, because, well, I mean, if there was, like, fog outside, it could have checked the weather reports that day and been able to bring up those records. So, that's easy to check.
Yeah. All right. And next up, we got some news out of Canada. Bill's neck of the woods. They've approved a plan to play hockey in Canada amid the pandemic.
Except.
But.
That was until Austin Matthews and a bunch of other members of the Tampa Bay Lightning ended up testing positive.
Well, it was Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs and a bunch of members of the Bolts. Yeah. So two teams represented there. This probably puts the kibosh on any attempt to save the 2020 season or the 2019-2020 season. I don't know if they're going to try and make a last ditch effort to try and wash it off with a 2-week quarantine or what. I'm a little unclear on it, but
well, like if they were practicing and they ended up coming down with it and shit.
Yeah, it's
hell to the no.
Literally,
that ship has sailed at this point. They had a plan in place, but plans change.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. And next up, the last surviving sibling of President John F. Kennedy, Jane Kennedy Smith, passed away this week at the age of 92.
Mm. And she worked as a diplomat, too, at least some of her time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he had more of a mark on history than we know about.
Yeah, I guess that's more or less like that whole generation of the family is gone now. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The original Camelot. Mm-hmm. Well, American Camelot.
Yeah, I was fixing to say.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And also sad this week, one of the stars of The Lord of the Rings, Ian Holm, passed away this week at the age of 88.
Yeah. He was also an alien, but I don't know what he did there. Mm. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, so sure Ian Holm, for those who don't know, he's the guy who played Bilbo in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Old Bilbo.
Yeah, old Bilbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, not new Bilbo
Bilbo, but the old
yeah. In Alien, he played Ash the Android.
Yeah.
Back in what, 79?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe. Yeah.
Last but not least this week, we got confirmation that Seven of Nine from Star Trek was always queer.
Okay. Which a lot of people had wondered about because of some of the tension between her and Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know that whole thing. It's been interesting because my license plates. Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but my license plate is 7 of 9, and has been since 99. I've had that plate forever, and so I get stopped a lot, and half the time they think that I am the 7th of 9 children. That is so not correct. but the amount of people after Picard was over that it is old white guys. They're like, well, we didn't have to have the whole homosexual thing and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you've been watching Star Trek your whole life, fuckers. Have you not gotten the whole diversity? Infinite diversity. I mean, it's been around since the original. It was Gene Roddenberry's big thing.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, did you never notice the extreme tension between Spock and Kirk?
Yep. Oh, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the video Takesha's TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
With Kirk and Spock and other people from the original Enterprise, but it's hysterical.
Yeah.
See that.
Take about 2 minutes and watch it. Whenever I'm feeling bad, I watch that all the time. It's just great.
All right. Well, we got ourselves a show, folks.
Indeed.
So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked to you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not, well, just wait a few minutes. We'll be on there eventually. I mean, what else are you going to do? Go outside? What is your problem?
The floor is lava.
The floor is lava, and there's giant murder hornets out there. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Sammons, good night. Juneteenth is very much a thing.